True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service, which basically means that we have always been involved in every aspect of our industry. We're very unique. We're highly capitalized. We're debt-free. And we basically specialize in everything. I mean, precious metals, rare coins, all types of rare coins, very knowledgeable in all of them. Many, many companies have, you know, a niche, okay? For those of you that listen to the radio or satellite or watch TV, you're going to see ads for different companies. Those are, I always call them mass marketing companies. They have commissioned salespeople. They really are nothing more than a boiler room that present themselves in a beautiful way. First impressions are everything. TV commercials, you know, you get William Devane or whatever, who, you know, I collect gold and I buy it from Roslyn Capital and that kind of stuff. And if you really want to know and you want to get down to the nitty gritty, and they're always like, we'll beat anyone's price at anyone's any time on any coin. And no, they will not. In fact, they won't even come close, but which is false advertising. But I've knocked a couple guys down over the years on false advertising by just making some phone calls, doing a little recording, and having my attorney send them a little, hey, how about you tell the truth or stop, cease and desist. In every case, I've prevailed. I know that sounds kind of mean, but it's not, because it's protecting you, the consumer, okay? That's important stuff. I need to watch out for you guys. That's why I'm on the air in the first place, is to protect you and educate you. And I don't like deception. I hate it. I hate lies and dishonesty and unethical behavior. And I'll tell you, folks, they play and prey heavily on the what I call the vulnerability of the Christian audience. You guys, us believers, we are susceptible to those that say they share our beliefs, especially those of us who take it serious. There's the C&E Christians, you know, Christmas and Easter. There's the weekend, you know, perfect family Christians that go home and live a different life. And then there's, you know, the real Christians that Jesus is saved and redeemed and they're living a good life. And gratitude, retribution, whatever you want to call it, towards Christ's grace and favor and mercy. I had a conversation here recently with a young gentleman, very, very good conversation. He had a lot of questions about God and the Bible, and he'd been exposed, and he was saying, so you're telling me once saved, always saved? Yes. He's like, well, what happens if a guy, you know, gets saved and then goes out and murders people? I said, if he gets saved and then goes out and murders people and is a serial killer, he wasn't saved in the first place, because your good works come from your faith. They come from your gratitude. Good works do not come from anywhere else. In fact, anyone who would do that, it doesn't desire redemption, I suppose. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist. But, you know, and I'm sure they repent. I don't even want to get into it. That's way beyond my pay grade. But the bottom line is, a true believer loves Jesus, loves his word, craves his word, thirsts for his word. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Very, very important information. I'll tell you, folks, there's a lot of things going on right now. I want to touch on. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. I believe this is today's Wall Street Journal dated. No, it's not. It's a little bit older. It's in the last week, though. It says, Google foes plan for federal probe. Tech giants' rivals compiled documents to aid the government's antitrust investigation. What's really hot right now, the whole article talks about U.S. officials prepare an antitrust probe of Alphabet, Inc., Google, and possibly other Silicon Valley giants. A loose-knit crew of its rivals is gearing up to help. Now, what's going on, and I think I touched on this last week a little bit, is that it's really interesting because when Stalin and Hitler and, these Mao Zedong and any of these communist leaders came into power, based on the teachings of Karl Marx, they implemented and integrated propaganda. Propaganda is the key. They've got to control the information. Now, a child's mind, I always say academia and media, right? A child's mind is a sponge, okay? That's why Jesus said, if you do to the least of these, you will be better off that a millstone be hung around your neck than when I basically get my hands on you and you pay your judgment. God loves children. God understands children. That's why when you raise a child, you raise them in the church. You raise them to love Jesus. You raise them to love Christ. You teach them that because they are malleable. That is your ministry at that point in time. It's also why the hosts of heaven cry out that it's such a miracle when an adult, an atheistic, God-hating, blaspheming, or just non-believing individual comes to Christ, because it becomes so hard because they weren't raised that way. And so you've got academia. So the socialist media goes after the children's minds. When my son was going to school at Gonzaga and he was writing some papers, he did one on that very topic. Well, not exactly. It was indirect. Here's what it was. He did a paper that said that schools should prepare kids to make a living at the undergraduate level, okay? So what he was saying is when you get out of high school, you should have a viable working skill, if you choose to, or you don't have a choice, you just have to pick one. I mean, how productive would our society be if our kids came out with some skill, okay, that they could do, whether it be computer science or, like programming or, automotive mechanics or, prepare them to go on to, it depends on the budget of the school, of course. I was going to say aeronautic mechanics or airplane mechanics, that probably isn't likely. But there's a number of things they could learn to do. They could become EMTs. They could, they could become certified nurses' assistants. There's so many things that they, but in the teacher, this will probably not surprise one of you, but the teacher's response to him and his paper was this. She said, school's job, the undergraduate school's job. Now, you got to remember, these people have our children for 12 years, okay? You've got to do 181 days of school. I think you all know that, and you all probably agree, right? And they're, in general, not counting intramural and extracurricular activities, they're, 8:30 to 3:30 type thing. So you're looking at 7 hours. So if we take 7 hours times 181 days a year, now I'm not counting the extra stuff, right? So that's 1,267 hours a year. Take that times 12 years. You got 15,200 hours. Now, if you work 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, there's 52 weeks in a year. Just say you have 2 weeks vacation, right? 50 weeks a year, 40 hours a week, that's 2,000. 2,000 hours. Now, anybody successful is going to work more than that. I'm not getting into that right now, but that's a 40-hour work week. If you're, I've always said, I've spent years in banking and all that, and, one thing I learned long ago was nobody who's highly successful works 40 hours a week. But, that, again, I just want to throw that out there. you know, as a quick side note, because, well, I'll tell you this first. So they've got our kids 15,000 plus hours a year, almost 16,000, and 2,000 hours a year is a full-time job. So they've got our kids for the equivalent of almost 8 years, 7.5 years of professional employment, okay? And our kids literally come out of schools. A lot of them come out close to illiterate. I had an employee friend years ago who, you know, we were doing online listing and kind of getting into it. It was a new thing for us, so it's been a while. That was back in quite a while ago. But he was illiterate. I mean, I'll just be candid. He was illiterate. So I went to him and I said, tell me, be honest with me. You didn't graduate from high school, right? And he said, no, I did. I said, you couldn't have. I said, did you drop out in about eighth grade or what? No, I went all the way through. I said, you graduated. Yes. He wrote the word of UV. I mean, and that's just one of the many. You would not even believe his writing. And that was a public. Then, you know, what's worse is I've seen worse since. I've seen it all over the place. I've hired high school graduates that are like, they can't read, right? You know, I was going to be a teacher. That's what made me get out of it. As I was doing the paraprofessionals, kids couldn't read. They didn't care. They didn't want to know. And so in the equivalent of 7.5 years of professional business employment, they come out and they're illiterate. And when I put my kids in Christian school, which was a little late in life, but they were, you know, teenagers, and junior high type was my daughter and my son. Well, both of them are coming. My son was coming out of junior high. My daughter was in junior high. And neither of them had known what the Holocaust was. So talked to the teacher. Teacher was like, well, we don't feel that that's an appropriate topic to teach because it's controversial. Because there's people who are Holocaust deniers, and we just wouldn't want to offend those kind of people. And that's where we're at right now. Academia is spending all their time teaching our kids how to be tolerant. And, you know, God forbid they'd ever teach a moral. They can't now. They can't use the words right or wrong. Johnny, that's wrong. Or, you know, tell kids, you know, any kind of moral behavior is good, bad, or indifferent. They have to, quote, accept everything. Now, that's not constitutional, in my opinion. What's constitutional is respecting a person's religion, race, creed, you know, you got it, right? Not morality. Morality is morality. Truth is truth. I remember in the 90s when truth became the, well, there is no truth. It's whatever you think truth is. And then we had a day we called 9/11. And suddenly everybody is like, well, that's evil and that's bad. Wait a minute. I thought there was no evil and no bad, you know, and that did kind of give us a short period of time of unity in this nation, but very short. It was like the Democrats stood by the sidelines and said, can we attack Bush now? Can we attack Bush now? I remember literally watching the news and the arguments over, well, how long do we got to wait before we can really rip Bush apart and attack him and really undermine him? And it, in politics is filth. I mean, I've been around it too long. I'm tired of it. The truth will set you free, but man, they're not teaching the truth. So that's the academic side. That is what the communist socialist school of thought is. Of course, the media is a no-brainer, right? The media, now we've got 24/7 television. We've got filth, excuse me, crap or junk. Take your pick. I work late, way too late most nights, and I just struggle. You know, I like background noise. It's the way my brain works. I like the hyperstimulation. It's just who I am, you know? And so I'll try to turn on the TV once in a while and just try to find anything. Long ago, there was one of the night guys. What was his name? Jimmy Kimmel. I thought he was smart. He never appeared to make political statements, and I thought, okay, this guy's good. I actually said that about him. And then Trump got in office and watch out. Out he goes, right? And as far as against Trump, like, wow. I mean, harsh, heavy. Jimmy Fallon, you know, funny. I haven't really seen him go after him too bad. I don't watch it enough to know, but I can tell you, you know, these vile, you know, real, whatever they call them, reality shows. And I mean, Naked and Afraid. They put a man and a woman naked on an island and then they have to, you know, survive. And I mean, how stupid is that? And people just make complete fools of themselves. I actually heard a gal who did an interview after being on there and said she lost her job and couldn't get another job. It's mockery. They are just showing people stupidity, I guess. It's just garbage. It's filth. You know, you get any kind of awards show and they have to get up there and get, like, you know, Robert De Niro, you know, one of the greatest actors of all times, just start spewing vile, wretched filth out of his mouth. Absolute disrespect for our leaders, just gushing garbage that our children could possibly be watching. This is the media, right? That's half of it. Make them immoral. Why? Well, God's moral and man's not. And let's just feed our flesh, you know. God is not mocked. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. We need corruption for them to take over. They need it, you know. So then you've got the news. I mean, you literally, folks, if any one of you or anybody you know is watching CNN, you know, Trump started calling it fake news. I have watched it enough. I mean, too much. Not because I like it, because I seek the truth no matter the cost. It really is fake news. It's really fake news. And then they make Fox just seem like it's so bad. Now, Fox is just full of editorials. I hated to see Bill O'Reilly go. Whatever. You know, they got Tucker out there. He's getting a little smarter, a little edgier, you know, but good for him. We need that, but, you know, but that too is, it's editorial. Hannity is an interesting guy. They've ran at these guys, the left, with heavy. They put 12 veteran journalists on Hannity for 3 years, digging up every single thing from his past, watching him, stalking him, spying on him, nothing. Pure. The man is pure. He went through seminary, loves God, and not ashamed to say it. And he sounds harsh, and his rhetoric seems very vitriolic, but it's truth. It's truth, and truth hurts sometimes. In fact, we're living in a country where you're not supposed to speak the truth, and he does. And so, you know, there's a few left out there that we need to, you know, maybe pay a little attention to. I don't know where you get your news. There's all kinds of stuff. I had this gentleman here lately, Rich Laudenbach, who is the, I think he's the president of the Constitutional Party, among other things. He's got his Inland Northwest Report. It's inlandnwreport.com. And then he's got, you know, socialismtoday.info and to totally debunk socialism. He's got redpillpatriots.com, dedicated to the truth in the American way. That's a local guy. That's the kind of information we need out there. But guess where he is on the Google searches? And so what we're finding is that Google, in general, is I talked about Google, social media, all of it. They are literally committed to destroy your mind. It says, let me see how much there is to read here. Just a quick article on Zero Hedge. Google using AI, artificial intelligence, to meddle in the 2020 election and prevent the next Trump situation. Veritas. A new undercover expose by Project Veritas reveals that the company is programming its machine learning algorithms in order to avoid the next Trump situation, quote. the, quote, next Trump situation, unquote. We all got, this is, I'm reading a quote now, we all got screwed over in 2016. Again, it wasn't just us. It was the people got screwed over. The news media got screwed over. And remember, I'm reading a quote. These aren't my words. Like everybody got screwed over, so we're rapidly been like, what happened there and how do we prevent it from happening again? Unquote. Said longtime Google executive and head of, quote, responsible innovation, Jen Janai. We're also training our algorithms like if 2016 happened again, would the outcome be different, she said. Janai says that Elizabeth Warren's proposal to break up Google is very misguided because all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company cannot do that. Meanwhile, a Google insider who came forward to Veritas confirmed what they filmed. What? This is kind of choppy English, sorry. Meanwhile, a Google insider who came forward to Veritas confirmed what they filmed, Janai admitting that the company is using, quote, machine learning fairness. Fairness, ooh, nice word, right? As just one of several political tools used to promote their political agenda by combating algorithmic unfairness. All right? Definition of algorithmic unfairness is, it says, definition, algorithmic unfairness means unjust or prejudicial treatment of people that is related to sensitive characteristics such as race, income, sexual orientation, or gender. Through algorithmic systems or algorithmically aided decision making. In other words, algorithmic, what they call algorithmic unfairness, is actually algorithmic fairness. It does not favor one person over another, okay? They don't like that. They can't have that. They have to have bias. Have I spoke about bias lately? Yes. Why? Because of this very, very thing that we're discussing here right now. It is very, very important that you understand Romans 2, okay? 11 through 16. In fact, I have it in King James on my phone, and I am going to try to find it in NASB. Now, I updated my Apple laptop, you know, with Flash, and they jammed Yahoo on here. Really interesting to try to find, like Blue Letter Bible. It's like, woo, how they've changed some things I do not like. Let me find this bad boy, and I apologize. Yep, it doesn't want me to find it. It does not want me to find it. I cannot even believe this. This is crazy. It blocks me. I type in Blue Letter Bible, no go. So let's go this direction here. We'll try a little NASB. Sorry for the delay, but I want to read this scripture because this is very important. We're going to Romans chapter 2. And we're going to go about verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. Okay? In King James, it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. So let's go on. For all who have sinned without the law, this is in NASB, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Okay, so God just sees you purely by your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. He sees your heart, but when he looks at your heart, it either does or doesn't have the Jesus filter. So there is no respecter of persons. And what I mean by that is simply that there aren't special rights. Okay, now we have special grace and mercy. So if you see someone who's handicapped, really handicapped, you better take care of them. You better get out of their way, or you better help them, you know, if they're in a wheelchair, assist them, whatever. That's goodness and graciousness. But I'm saying transgender and in black, white, red, orange, yellow, green, whatever color a human being is, probably if they're green, you need to get them to the hospital. But other than that, you don't – I mean, they shouldn't – there should not be favoritism, okay? You know, the word partiality is a sin in the book of Proverbs. God hates it. You're never to be partial. And then it goes on, it says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves." Now, in other words, when non-believers develop their laws, guess what? It's because the laws of God are written on the hearts of man, okay? So now they're bound by their own laws, God's telling us. And they're a law to themselves. Why? Because we are the creation of God. We're a representation of God. And, you know, and so when we're doing this, we have to brainwash ourselves to do this stuff because people know that's not fair, you know, transgender, because someone goes and has some sick, excuse me, operation and they remove parts and start taking hormones and changing all this garbage out. I mean, you've got these highly trained female athletes now being beat out for the Olympics and stuff by transgender, by men who claim they're women, you know, and it's ridiculous. It's wrong. And that's what Google is saying is right. So, folks, you need to understand the world we live in. I was just thinking before the show, propaganda, manipulation, academic, again, persuasion, manipulation, and media coercion towards your brain is now in the hands of private corporations. Now, suddenly, we have a problem because our Constitution gives us – the First Amendment says what? You have A, as an individual, the freedom of speech, and B, freedom of the press. And, of course, C, freedom of to express your religion. But then we go on to D. A corporation is treated as an individual. Now, this is a debate that people go back and forth on. Corporations should be treated as individuals. But antitrust, I mean, we've had antitrust with money, where they control all the steel in the world or all the oil in the world or all the banking or all the telephone service, right? But you've never had a situation where these companies control free speech. They control it. They censor it. So now all this censorship basically is being done for the government establishment, as Trump called it, the swamp, by private individuals. When Obama was in office, the CEO of Google was in his office over 400 times. What do you think they were talking about? You think it was like when Clinton met with Loretta Lynch on the plane and they talked about their grandkids? I don't think so. I think it's pretty obvious what they're talking about because they were scrubbing everything imaginable, like I just mentioned with Yahoo. It's not the hearers of the law, I said, you know, who are just before God, but the doers of the law. For when Gentiles do not have the law, who do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law, because God's law is written on their hearts, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. I guess I got a little ahead of myself. What I was saying is exactly what it says. So I'll read that again. It says, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, obviously Paul writing here, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ, right? So, you know, judgment's coming, but in the meantime, we have a responsibility. I mean, we have a responsibility to take care of this earth, to be good stewards, and that stewardship now is becoming an intangible. Yes, we need to take care of the land, and yes, we need to take care of the people, and we've all been brainwashed that the government's the only one that can do it properly. There's absolutely no way we're told that human beings could ever do what the government does. That's not true. Churches have done it for millennia, you know, or centuries anyway. It says, you know, here's a little thing, you know. Internal only documents at Google show the goal to establish a single point of truth for definition of news across Google products. There, I just got a news flash today, the Daily Wire, put out by Ben Shapiro, who's, you know, an absolute walking genius. He's now being shoved down on Google and possibly removed, and Facebook's cutting him out, and, you know, all these kinds of things are very concerning. And this is where we're at. Please take this very seriously. It's the legitimate deal. Reddit suspended this Project Veritas, okay? We discovered this is what it says. We discovered this as we tried to post a link to today's Google Insider story. You can see the full report on our website. That was just on the 24th of June. Our brave tech insiders can contact us, blah, blah, blah. Folks, we're there. We are there. Big Brother coming at you a different way than you ever thought. So now what we need to do is what the Wall Street Journal was trying to touch. We've got to find a way to control, you know, speech. Now, we've got all these buzzwords, right? Hate speech, you know, and racism. How many times have you heard racism? How sick are you of that term, right? I'm getting a little tired of it myself, personally. You know, it talks about these companies have long argued that big tech platforms illegally abuse their market power. In recent years, some of them have found a receptive audience in Europe, where authorities have thrice fined Google for allegedly monopolistic practices. Google has paid the fines but is challenging them in court. Now, rivals are increasing their advocacy in the U.S., where antitrust enforcers recently divvied up the job of examining antitrust concerns at large tech platforms, with the Justice Department preparing a Google probe. The Wall Street Journal reported on potential probes by the department and the Federal Trade Commission, that's the FTC, earlier this month, citing people familiar with the matter, and on it goes. Okay? Google successfully navigated U.S. regulatory scrutiny of several previous mergers, and it goes on and on about the FTC, you know, not controlling them properly. They are massive. They control your thoughts. People say just Google it. I know a lot of people out there like, I don't use Google. Well, if you use, you know, what's that call? I forgot. The gal was on the radio with us a while ago. She's just going to Google. All she's doing is hiding the identities of the searchers so that you don't get a bunch of junk in your mail. But it's still the same thing. Google is the primary source. So that's where you're getting your information. That's sadly where everybody gets it. But when they start to, you know, censor it, we've got a problem. We've got I got all this interesting stuff here too. We've got this 5G telephone stuff is coming out, right? And it's, you know, they're talking about the damage it'll cause. A cell tower climber recently was talking here, and he shared a video about his concerns with 5G wireless, which I can't go through. Explains what he's found through his research. He uploaded the video to his YouTube, Facebook page, and it's going fairly viral. So look up 5G wireless technology, and you can see what's coming on. These technologies, they say have harmful effects, but also they're getting to the point where they can tap into everybody everywhere all the time without, you know, they can circumvent all passwords, all of it. They can grab everything out of the air, everything, without any need for any passwords whatsoever. And I'll just leave it at that. It's something to really consider. There's dangers, and in not just in civil rights, but also physically to you, something to consider. This is all Big Brother coming on strong. Computer chips get smaller, and the power gets greater, and we are, on our way. Okay, it's interesting. I've got so much stuff here. I'm sorry to keep saying that. I'm trying to decide what in the world to touch on here. History of false flags. We've got lists of this and, how they're cheering. It says, read this before cheering the next war. Truth is the first casualty of war. Over 2,000 years ago, the Greek writer Aeschylus, A-E-S-C-H-Y-L-U-S, said, in war, truth is the first casualty. What does that mean? Truth is the first thing to be killed before war comes on board. The quote could be read to mean once a war starts, truth goes out the window. Joseph Goebbels, Nazi Germany, what does he say? Tell a lie long enough, the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, what? The more they believe it. That's you and me. We're that foolish. War not only kills, maims, and displaces a lot of innocent people, but it's also bad for the economy, and it destroys the environment, puts out, all these people, I'm reading this, carbon dioxide, and it goes on that they passionately believe that people need to understand the history, of the false pretenses. A Native American from one tribe murdered a white English woman, and, there's this whole list of stuff. I remember I had a 2005 newspaper, or how about 1905, that had an ad from our government that was paying $5 a piece for red man scalps in a certain territory. Think about it. $5 in 1905, you know what that'd buy you? A lot. I've got all these false flags. Japanese troops set off a small explosion on a train track in 1931, falsely blamed it on China in order to justify an invasion of Manchuria, known as the Mukden Incident or the Manchurian Incident. The Tokyo International Military Tribunal found several of the participators in the plan, including Hashimoto, who is a high-ranking Japanese army officer. And it goes on and on. Major with the Nazi SS admitted at the Nuremberg trials under orders from the chief of the Gestapo. He and other Nazi operatives faked several attacks on their own people and resources, which they blamed on the Poles to justify invading Poland. So the staged attacks included German radio station, overtaken that, it appeared. The strategic railway explosions, customs and on, forest fires and so on. It goes on. There's this huge list of false flags where there's been so many it's not even funny. There's Nazi General Franz Halder testified at Nuremberg trials that Nazi leader Hermann Goering admitted to setting fire to a German parliament building in 1933, blaming it on the Jews and the communists. And he goes, why? Of course, the people don't want war. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy, he says. All you have to do is tell them they're being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country at any time in history. Adolf Hitler everyone's favorite, said, quote, terrorism is the best political weapon, for nothing drives people harder than a fear of sudden death. Okay? Now, fear, you're not supposed to have it. I cannot believe how many Christians I get around that, you know, I've traveled with to, you know, Glacier Park, and they're freaking out and buying bear mace and all this stuff, and they're terrified to go into certain areas. And not that you want to be recklessly stupid, but at the same time, you know, fear, you know, I've seen parents, Christian parents, just terrifying their children, you know, over driving. I mean, you want to be careful and smart, but you want to be, you don't do things through fear. You do things by wisdom. Fear is something that as a believer you shouldn't have. This is going to sound a little brazen, but, someone puts a gun to your head, oh, well, if it's God's time to take you, let him take you. You know, I mean, God doesn't support, you know, you can get real philosophical there about, you know, serial killers who are shooting everybody up. It's not God's will, but it says God uses all things for the good of those who love him. And, you know, some family friends recently back in Montana went out on jet skis, in their 50s, and the wife apparently accidentally went up over the top of the husband, and they both passed away. Well, as a result, a family member of mine has been able to share Christ with the family, lead people to Christ, and by the way, the lady who had passed, my relative, had also shared Christ with them, and you know, God uses those situations for good. He does, but that doesn't mean that he condones the sinful behavior or the mistakes or whatever, but he does use evil for good. However, terrorism, fear, it's very simple. Terrorism is fear. It's what the Muslims use to control their people and you people. It's what they've used, you know, people for a new American century at 9/11. The 9/11 was so phony. There was so much stuff that made no sense. And then World Trade Center 7, building number 7, went down, you know, what, 8 hours later. It had sustained no damage. It was full of all of the stuff that they needed to investigate. The 2.4 trillion is what we thought it was at the time. It turned out to be a lot more than that was missing, as well as the IRS and FBI were investigating over 100 other companies for doing what Enron had done, cooking the books, because during the dot-com craze, you had to grow 10% a year, which is right around physically impossible. You know, you got Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev admitting in writing that Soviet Union's Red Army shelled the Russian village of Manila in 1939 while blaming the attack on Finland, you know, and which was the basis for launching the Winter War. The Russian parliament, current Russian President Putin, and former Soviet leader Gorbachev all admit that Soviet leader Stalin ordered his secret police list to get, this is terrible, to execute 22,000 Polish army officers and civilians in 1940, and then falsely blamed it on the Nazis. 22,000 executions. Stalin was a sick, sick man. Stalin's quote was, "The easiest way to gain control of a population is to carry out acts of terror." He said the public will clamor for such laws if their personal security is threatened. I cannot tell you how many people, when I get on a plane, are like, oh, whatever they want to do to me, as long as I'm safe, they're not making you safe. They're telling you you're safe. I could tell you some stories about things that have ended up on a plane. An individual I know, carried 23 bullets accidentally through the literal x-ray machine to a trade show. They missed it, you know, and it is getting more and more invasive. You're getting to where you can't do anything at all, you know. in the 1950s. You got the British government that admits in between 46 and 48 it bombed 5 ships carrying Jews who were Holocaust survivors attempting to flee to safety in Palestine right after World War II, set up a fake group called Defenders of Arab Palestine, and then had the pseudo group falsely claim responsibility for the bombings, and, you know, on and on it goes. In the 50s, Israeli Prime Moshe Sharet admitted in his diary, "I've been meditating on the long chain of false incidents and hostilities we've invented, and on the many clashes we've provoked, which cost us so much blood." CIA, our good old CIA, admits it hired Iranians in the 50s to pose as communists and stage bombings in Iran in order to turn the country against its democratically elected prime minister. You know, and on it goes. Turkish prime minister admitted the Turkish government carried out the 1955 bombing on a Turkish consulate in Greece, damaging the nearby birthplace of the founder of modern Turkey, and then blamed it on Greece, right? And I could go on and on and on and on and on. There, the list is unbelievable. Goodness, I don't even know where to begin or where to end. We haven't even gotten to the U.S. 1960, American Senators George Smathers suggested that the U.S. launch a false attack made on Guantanamo Bay, which would give us the excuse of actually fomenting a fight, which would then give us the excuse to go in to overthrow Castro. The official State Department documents show that in 61, the head of the Joint Chiefs and other high-level officials discussed blowing up a consulate in the Dominican Republic in order to justify an invasion of that country. The plans were not carried out, but they were all discussed as proposals. As admitted by the U.S. government, recently declassified documents show that in 1962, the Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on a plan to blow up American planes using an elaborate plan involving the switching of airplanes. I think this was Project North, I can't remember. But anyway, so they were going to basically have, you know, say Flight 153 would land. They would move those people to another plane. That plane would fly. It'd still be Flight 153. No one would know what's going on. And then, boom, it'd be blown out of the air. And it says, so that it was the switching of airplanes and also to commit terrorist acts on American soil and then blame it on the Cubans in order to justify an invasion of Cuba. And there was even an ABC News report that has all the official documents. In an interview with the former Washington investigative producer for ABC World News Tonight with Peter Jennings, the plan was subsequently admitted again in other declassified government documents, and on it goes. Okay? So what's the point? I assure you, I have such a list here, you cannot even fathom it. Okay? I'm trying to find anything significant. I mean, all of us know about the Bay of Tonkin to get us in Vietnam. Many believe that the attacks on Pearl Harbor, it's the only time we had so many people. We had all our ships lined up. We knew the Japanese were coming, and FDR wanted to get into World War II, but it was the only way he could do it, and he basically allowed the Japanese to just bombard us. He also wanted to use a nuke, and what did he do? Use a nuke. So, declassified 1973 CIA document reveals a program to train foreign police and troops on how to make booby traps, pretending they were training them on how to investigate terrorist acts. The agency maintained a liaison in varying degrees with foreign police through its field stations, and the CIA, you know, provide sessions as follows. They provide trainees with basic knowledge in the use of commercial military demolitions and incendiaries as may be applied in terrorism, industrial sabotage. They introduce the trainees to commercially available materials and home laboratory techniques likely to be used in the manufacture of explosives by terrorists and saboteurs. They familiarize the trainees with the concept of target analysis and operational planning that a saboteur of terrorism must employ, and it goes on. They introduced them to booby-trapping devices and technically giving practical experience with both manufactured and improvised devices through actual fabrication, and on it goes. So I'm going to stop there. This is the ultimate, you know, you got Rwanda and on and on. This is the ultimate goal. Okay, folks, they get us all prepared. We buy into everything. The media reports what it's being told to report. It doesn't mean the media is always in on it, but if it fits their political agenda, they won't even think. They'll just come right out and do. And so we're sitting in a position now where you're going to see very likely false attacks or false accusations towards Trump for starting war and on and on. You know, we've got concentration camps in this country. People are familiar with those, I'm sure. Things are set up and ready to go. I mean, they are ready to go. They're ready to get us lined up and take this country over. This is not the America of old, is it? It is not what it was, you know. And they intentionally intend to Google your mind and social media and everything. So, you know, protect yourself, prepare yourself, watch out, be careful, be smart. Precious metals, I always go back to that. You've got to be protected and prepared. Back when I started this business, and I had a lot of customers that were, you know, World War II survivors. Latvian Jews, Polish Jews, all kinds of people, Jewish Jews who had survived because they had gold, Vietnamese people. I know people. If you have precious metals-based assets, that is the one and only thing that lasts through all this stuff. I'm not even talking about the economic collapse. You've got these bankers, you know, Every attack on capitalism is wrong. You know, the bankster and corporate elite run a welfare warfare state. They practice economic fascism. They misallocate economic activity from free market consumers and producers into their own subsidized mischiefs. What they call the velocity of money, how fast money goes back to the government. The left wants to increase taxes. Ultimately, the government gets every penny anyway, if you do the math, right? You make $1,000, you pay your 20% or whatever it is, there you got 800. Then you go spend the 800 somewhere else. They get to pay their 20%. Then they spend the remaining money and they pay their 20%. And it goes all the way down. You get these left-wingers that want to jam it all through the roof. It's not really going to help to produce free health care and all this stuff. It's to take everything away from you and make you fully dependent on the government. They have absolutely eliminated almost completely the middle class. They've got people so debt-ridden these days, we've discussed that, there's just no turning back. When you hear them blame capitalism, I guess the idiots blame capitalism, they've been seduced and deluded into supporting the taking of decisions regarding your own savings, income, and associations from individual people to those who control and administer the state. Free market capitalism, which the original meaning was liberty, by the way, the freedom to make wise or unwise choices and learn from it, the freedom to give or not to give, that is grassroots democracy, real democracy. It makes us all stronger in the long term. It makes us wiser. It's biblical. The current system of fascism is the close brother of socialism, and it's a transitional state into socialism, secretly and powerfully and rapidly. Central banks are their number one, but not only tool, but their number one tool. In a real free market, the interest rate for any venture is a market evaluation of risk and a compensation for the inflation rate. I know that because I got banking background in my blood. In the bankster state, it is who is privileged to have access to virtually free money, the banks. Who is the politically connected elite and their seduced allies, the beneficiaries of the welfare state? It's never the honest working person who pays, you know, 20% on their credit cards so that others can renege and not pay their bills. And that's where the left cater to those who don't keep their word. You know, forget free market capitalism. It's free money socialism, and it is for the 1%. There really is a 1%, but there, it's not the 1% that works hard and got lucky and hit the American dream. And so bottom line is, folks, billionaires right now and people with a lot of money, they're moving into metals fast and hard. I've seen it. I know it. I live it. I'm telling you. You got to take their lead. If you don't, you're not thinking real clear. I'm just telling you, if you've got savings, get in here, change it, you know, get it into God's money from the beginning of written human history all the way through the Bible, all the way to the end, all the way to heaven. That's what God wants you to have, okay? We had a special going on 1921 Morgans. I think they were about $17.50 a piece. I don't know how many of those are left. That's very, very wholesale. I mean, when you can buy a silver dollar for that price, when you've got, the actual silver price itself at, you know, 15 and change, and gold is 1400 and something, and, you know, the market is alive. It's moving. It's clicking. You're not going to hear about it, but it's alive and well, and rare coins are doing good, and things are strong. The market's soft, and that's the stock market I'm referring to, by the way. It's not soft. It's overbought through hyperinflation. So bottom line is, folks, buy low, sell high. This is a great time for you to be getting your nose in there, taking care of things. Don't buy the lie. Don't think, oh, I'm doing decent or my money is staying flat, so I'm going to hang in there. Get yourself protected. Call Coins Plus 444-0044 or toll free 877-TAP-COIN. We've got a lot of good, you know, portfolios we can help you with. We can just help you save your money in a godly way. I mean, why do you want to be in paper? Hang your whole hope on the performance of man in a spun out economy. People, you know, I could do a whole show, and I should, on all these people that say, where's the good economy? I mean, all, you know, Trump says it's because of the stock market. Well, that there's a lot more to an economy than that. So anyway, thanks again for tuning in. Leave us positive reviews. Google 5-star free silver dollar. You can go to Bing or Yelp, do 3-2 silver dollars. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.